Let's open our Bibles, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. I try my best to be brief. There's an old story about a prospector, a mountaineer man, and his wife who were in the house, and they were sitting around the fire. And the wife looks at her husband and says, "Pa, I think it's raining. You ought to get up and go outside and see if it's raining." Pa sat there for a minute, looked at the fire. His wife looked back at the fire. He said, "Ma, why don't you just call the dog in and see if it's wet?" And there's an idea behind this that we often look for the easy way to do things. Matter of fact, most technology was born because we want to do things easier. Have you ever popped popcorn on the stove? Yeah, and there's some fun to it, but it's not near as fun as laying the bag in the microwave and letting it do all the work. As a boy, I remember my mom speaking to me about Aesop's fables, and she'd tell me the story of the grasshopper and the ant. The grasshopper, in some cartoons, he learns his lesson. The way my mama told it, he stood outside the door and froze to death. And that's how my mama told me the story. Told me the story of the tortoise and the hare, and that slow and steady is faster than someone who's speedy and inconsistent. There's something to be said about diligence. Diligence is much better than slothfulness. Solomon tells us a story of a man named Sluggard, and Sluggard has a problem. His name just means lazy. It means indolent. Do you know what indolent means? It means sluggard. He's a lazy kind of guy. He's a man who's not interested in getting up and getting a job done. He's interested in just getting by. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. Solomon said, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." See, there's a problem with the sluggard here. And the problem is that he has desires. The sluggard desireth. It's not that he doesn't want anything. He has desires. There are things he wants. He wants a good career. He wants a good car. He wants a good family. He wants a nice house. He wants a bumper crop. He wants a huge harvest. He longs for some grand payday and a huge payoff at the end of the tunnel. But the problem is he has nothing. He winds up with nothing. He starts with desires and he ends with what? Nothing. Starting with desires and ending with nothing. Doesn't sound like a happy ending. There are reasons for that. But look at the soul of the diligent. The soul of the diligent will be made fat. Fat has to do with having plenty. My stomach is bigger than it ought to be because I've had plenty. But Solomon isn't saying that the stomach of the diligent man will be made fat. He says the soul of the diligent man will be made fat. Their cup will run over. They will obtain the desires of their hearts because they're diligent. Now, diligence does not mean just doing more. If you're in the habit of writing things down, would you write that down? Because it's very important. Just doing more things, that's not diligence. Filling up the calendar, filling up the schedule, that's not diligence. But the soul of the diligent will be made fat. He'll obtain his desires. But what is diligence? We'll get to that. Let me give you a few things it's not to start with. Diligence is not intelligence. Diligence is not skillfulness. Diligence is not extra money in the bank. Diligence is not good health. Diligence is not good parents. Diligence is not a good education. Diligence is not a small loan of $1 million, as someone once said. Diligence is not a monthly living wage. Diligence is not the ability to do what you love in life. Diligence is not a supportive spouse. Diligence is not a strong community. Diligence is not easy access to transportation and clean water, although those are the things that society tells us we must have in order to succeed in life. God tells us a different story. He says, instead of all those other things that society says you must have in order to succeed, Solomon says you must be diligent. Diligent. Matter of fact, Lord Jesus teaches us it's required in servants more than anything else that a man be found faithful. Diligent is the opposite of the sluggard. God tells us what we already know. Certain people achieve the desires of their heart, and other people do not have success in life. Some people succeed, other people don't succeed. We know that, don't we? Some people succeed, some people don't succeed, but God gives the key ingredient here. The sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Let's look at a few verses about the sluggard. This is what Solomon has to say. Flip to Proverbs 6, verse 6. We'll start there. And I want you to stick with me, and then at the end, I think you'll understand why I'm going this direction with this lesson. First thing, Proverbs 6, verse 6, the sluggard is unwilling to learn. Sluggard is an ignorant person because he's unwilling to learn. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Solomon says, look at something that's diligent, even something that is ignorant and unintelligent, but diligent like the ant will get more done. Be willing to learn from someone who knows less than you. Learn from their diligence. Number two, look at verse 9. The sluggard fails to control his or her sleep patterns. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of sleep? Go to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10, verse 26 shows us the sluggard is not dependable, is unreliable. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Now, if you're marking your Bible, circle that word send, because that's really where we're going as believers. We are sent people. We are sent people. And the sluggard is not dependable in the mission upon which he or she is sent. Go to Proverbs 20, verse 4. The fourth lesson on the sluggard, they're easily persuaded away from work, persuaded generally by difficult circumstances. They hit the first speed bump and say, forget it. I can't do this. Easily persuaded away from work. Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing, and the grasshopper will starve to death in the snow. Circa 1986. Go to Proverbs 26, verse 16. This is the fifth and last bit of counsel that Solomon gives us on the sluggard. The sluggard does not seek wise counsel and does not heed advice when it's given. Proverbs 26, verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Now here we have a really tough situation. It's a man who's indolent, doesn't care to learn any better, doesn't control his sleeping habits, so his life seldom improves, and he's generally unreliable, and every difficulty knocks him off course because he doesn't really want to work anyway, and whenever someone tries to give him advice, he rejects it because he's already figured it out. This is the man sluggard. Solomon describes him for us, and I don't need to tell you that I just described a very unhappy man. A man who desires and has nothing. Nothing but desires. What an unhappy man. But Solomon doesn't leave us without a good example. Let's look at the diligent man. Go back to Proverbs 10, verse 4. You know, for every grasshopper in this world, there is an ant. For every hare in this world, there is a tortoise we can learn after. For every Bernie Sanders supporter, there is a good capitalist we can look at and learn a lesson. Firstly, diligent people aren't slack in their work. In other words, they spend time. This is the currency every man has. They spend time to make sure things are done right. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Go to Proverbs 12, verse 24. See, the diligent people are leaders among men. And I will say this, readers are leaders. That's true. You know, 50% of Americans never read anything. Never read anything. Not even the cereal box. That's half of us. I don't know that that's half of us, but they say 50%. One out of two. But diligent people are leaders. Look at this, Proverbs 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Number three, go to Proverbs 12, verse 27. Diligent people value their possessions. They see them as blessings from God. Look at this, in verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Proverbs 27, 23 says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Look well to thy herds. Here's the last one. Go to Proverbs 21, verse 5. Diligent people, and I'm going to say it again, spend time. That's key. Talking about diligence. Diligence is the proper expenditure of time. It's spending time wisely. This is diligence. Diligent people spend time thinking of ways to improve their productivity. Diligent people spend time thinking of ways to maximize their output of good things. So diligent people are willing to sit in silence, an open notebook and a calendar and a schedule, and think about how they can best spend their time. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to one. Flip over a chapter in Proverbs 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean. That just means obscure men. Perhaps I don't need to tell you that I've just described a very happy man. He's happy because he's succeeding. But why is he succeeding? He is succeeding because he started out with a lot. He's succeeding because he's ripped everybody off and he's cheated and taken a bigger piece of the pie. And that's why he's getting by. No. He's succeeding because he had every privilege in life. No. He's succeeding because he is a diligent man. He is a man who in wisdom has spent his time wisely. Diligent people are happy because they succeed. And they succeed because they're diligent in their, here's the dirty word, work. Work. In my notes, it's capital W, capital O, capital R, capital K. You remember Brother Fleming used to say, work. Work. Yeah, work. It's the difference between success and failure. Look, it's work to get up in the morning, go to your job. Come home at night and cut the lawn, to spend time with your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, and so on and so on. The ministry is work. It's work to read. It's work to study. It's work to clean the church. It's work to work the nursery. You know, I don't think we call cleaning the church work, but we call the nursery work, you know, because we understand, you know, there's some work there. But it's work to bring others to church. It's work to pray. It's work to fast. It's work to hand out gospel literature. It is work to serve the Lord. But we have been called to work for the Lord. Go to Matthew 28 if you would. I'm bringing this up because God has given us a mountain of a task. How do you eat an elephant? You know the answer. One bite at a time. Right? It's work. You've got to have a plan. You have to have a direction. You have to move forward. You cannot be idle. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God has called us as a church to get his word to the world. An old country preacher told us, you remember Tom Sexton telling us this in college? He said there's only one way to get the word to the world, and he came up with a dictionary. And he started at the word word, and he went to the word world. He said the only way to get from word to the world, you have to go through work. Well, that's true. There's only one way to get the word to the world, by work. It's work. It takes work. Hard work. Diligent work. Long-lasting work. You know, it's possible for a man to be very diligent with his career and not be diligent about the work of the Lord. A man can be diligent about his work and his home and not diligent about the work of God in the world. It's possible for a woman to be diligent with her home and with her job and not be diligent with the work that God has called her to do. We can be diligent about practical things and then be slothful when it comes to spiritual things. How do you know that's true? We know that's true, don't we? We've been there. And there's so much for us to do. Look, there are all kinds of places we could go to meet people in our jobs. You know, we can go to nursing home facilities, hospitals, homeless shelters, pregnancy centers. You can go to the bus stop. You can go to the street corner. I used to go with a man, and he'd buy a bus pass just to get on the bus and preach while the bus was moving. And those were good days. Those are fun times to just pass out literature. Look, these things are things that we can do and be diligent and be creative about the business of God. You say one thing about this, because I think we're all pretty busy. And I'm not asking us to be more busy. I'm asking us to be diligent. What does that mean? Might mean several things. Take note of these as best you can. It might mean that there are some things that we're sowing and we need to keep sowing and trusting God for a harvest in those things. That's diligence. There are things that we're doing that are right and good, and we need to keep doing those things that are right and good and not be knocked off course. It might mean that we need to rethink some of the things that we're doing so that we can better maximize our productivity for the kingdom of God. It might mean that we need to get counsel on how we can serve each other and our world better. It might mean that you need to stop following so much and become a leader among men. Could mean any of those things. But again, I'm not asking us to be more busy. I hope you understand that. I'm asking us to be diligent. Certainly means we must not be slothful. These are not the days to let up. These are the days to press on. During Stonewall Jackson's famous Valley campaign, he came up across a river. And he needed to get his army from this side of the river to that side of the river. And so it was late in the evening, and he went to his engineers. He said, listen, I need you to design a bridge so that I can get all of my men and my equipment and my artillery across the river. The engineers went to their tent. He went to the wagon master. He said, listen, we need a bridge, so we're going to need supplies to get all of my men, all of my equipment, and all of my artillery across the river. And so the wagon master, he went out and he started cutting down trees and logs, and he got men and he assembled them, and they went to people's houses and they took their fences apart, and they brought all of this lumber and they started carrying it to the river, and he built a bridge, and all the men marched across, and then they carried all the supplies across, and then they dragged all the artillery across, and he went to General Jackson and he said, General, the army is across the river. General said, wonderful, wonderful. And he was looking for someone to thank. He said, where are the engineers? And the sun was just starting to come up. They'd worked all night. Where are the engineers? And the wagon master, who we don't even know his name, said, they're in the tent designing a bridge. Job was done. And they're designing a bridge. Too many churches hole up and decide it's time for us to design a bridge, to come up with a plan. Look, the captain of our host has given us orders. He's given us a job to do. It's not time to hole up in the tent and figure out what we're going to do. Time to get it done. Time to get it done. It's time to move forward for the Lord. May God help us as his church to be diligent. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I pray this week that you would put on our hearts to be obedient to these things we know to do. Loosen our lips. Loosen our tongues. We can speak freely and openly and joyfully about Christ. Lord, we're in our tent right now, so to speak, but we're not drawing up battle plans. They've already been drawn. We're not trying to come up with the orders. They've already been given. Lord, we're trying to get the courage and the impetus and the conviction to just move forward for you. God, would you give it to us? Convict our hearts where we're slothful, where we pull back from obedience. Lord, convict us where we're sluggards. So many of us desire to make a difference for you. And when we stand before you on judgment, we'll have nothing to offer you. No souls for our work. No real jewels in our crown. We desire, we have nothing. Lord, the soul of the diligent be made fat. God, teach us to be diligent. Work in us. I pray in Jesus' name.